Samuel cuts it back. Ohio State wins.
Flashes, champions of the Mid-American Conference.
Little trick play and a throw to Baker Mayfield to tie the game.
Buried, grabbed by Leonard. Thrown it first. Unbelievable.
Chubb will take this all the way. 92 yards.
And the Ohio State Buckeyes are the first national champions of the playoff era.
The Indians have won the American League pennant.
It's over. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
I accepted it.
Gladiator. 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 Fit to fight with the gods. I'm the giant slayer. Bone shaker. Dominator. Freight train wrecking ball. I'm the gladiator.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pass the Mic Sports Talk. I'm your host, Enzo Orlando, and we have our Browns insider, Mason Lara, with us on a very disappointing Monday after that Browns loss. How are you doing today, Mason?
Well, I'm doing good. It's funny. You know, when the Browns lose, I laugh at their failure. I laugh at their misery. But when they win, I'm also happy. So, you know, I'm happy either way. But I know a lot of Browns fans are angry, and rightfully so.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely one of them today, because how do you blow the game with a minute 30 left on the clock? You leave like an open coverage touchdown for Joe Flacco to beat you. You then go ahead and not know how to run a onside kick. Amari Cooper didn't even try to go for that. Neither did JOK. They let them get the ball and they drive down for a touchdown, take the lead. I mean, I'm not blaming that whole Nick Chubb thing getting the touchdown. Chubb was doing his job, and that's what Nick Chubb does best. He runs, and he gets us into the end zone. No problem with that. I don't know why people are going on about that, but let's focus on those last 2 minutes of that game. What are your takes on what happened at the end?
Yeah, well, first of all, the people blaming Chubb are stupid, and they don't understand football. So with that out of the way, most importantly, I think the defense is incredibly overrated, and I think the structure of the defense doesn't work, because you have all these defensive backs, and they're supposed to, like, you know, it's supposed to make the defense faster and to stop these big plays and to prevent all these big plays, but it hasn't worked. They allowed big plays to Baker Mayfield last week, which, if you do that, is an embarrassment, because Buster can hardly throw the ball beyond 20 yards down the field. But just a horrible, horrible finish, you know. And Myles Garrett, look, talented player, physically very gifted, but he needs to finish games. And if you're going to scold the fans for booing his ass off the field, which they rightfully should have, then I don't think he should be saying that. I think that's shameful on his part. You know, that midfield elf was just scowling at all the clowns running across him all game. So I understand why he's scowling.
Yeah, and yeah, I like Miles. Met him before. Great guy. It's
based on what he said.
Like, I mean, he deserve, you know, the team deserved it after that loss. And I really like what Coach Stefanski had to say at the end of the game. He said this was a team loss. He wasn't putting it on him or the defense or Joe Woods. He was putting it on just the whole team, which is what a head coach should do when you have a loss anytime in the season. And just like going through like the end like that, you just really can't do that. And the whole defense, you're seeing the defensive backs are pointing fingers at each other. It's either Greg Newsom, John Johnson, or Denzel Ward. Like, they're posting that on social media and stuff, and they're saying in the media, it's just this child's behavior. Like, they're lucky they have a short week so we can move on to Pittsburgh. But they keep on doing this finger pointing, and you're seeing that throughout today in the media of, like, is it Joe Woods? Is it Mike Freifer on special teams? And let's not forget, Cade York missed that extra point too, which, you know, he thought he said he had it, but it was just, you know, went a little bit too right and wasn't able to get it in between the goalposts.
Yeah, York, I'm not as concerned about him. He's going to miss kicks. you know, you were still up 13 points. I don't blame pretty much really anybody on the offense. Kareem Hunt played great. Nick Chubb obviously played outstanding. Brissett had a great game.
Brissett, you know, 98.9 QBR rating. I mean, offense is doing his job. Brissett is doing his job. He's been a fine, solid quarterback for what we have. And I appreciate the hustle and the work, man. He really shows passion in how he plays. He was very emotional in the last week's win against Carolina's Prescott. Now he went there early in the game. That interception, he really had nothing he could do there. Nobody was really open, so he looked to the best receiver open. Had to been an interception, but whatever he could do. I mean, Amari Cooper had his best game of the season, so hopefully he plays like that. But here's the question, man. The tight ends, your favorite, David Njoku, man. I mean, this guy gets targeted 5 times but only makes 3 catches for only 30 yards. I mean, is he really worth the money the Browns are giving him?
Come on, bro. This guy, I don't know why it took people like 6 years to figure out that this guy wasn't worth $55 million. $28 million guaranteed. He was the drive killer yesterday. You know, you could have gone down, scored again, put the game to bed, and, you know, just went right through his hands. Perfect pass, right on the money. He had open field ahead of him, too. I mean, just, you know, classic David Njoku like that. He'll make a play. He'll make a really tough catch somewhere in the game, and then a pass right in his hands, he'll just drop it. Disappointing to say the least. I don't know. If he's your best tight end, I'd be scared.
Oh, yeah. It is. And looking at upcoming game against Pittsburgh, I mean, they're coming off a loss to the Patriots in a very crappy game they had. I mean, they're going to not have T.J. Watt. Browns looking like they're not going to have Jadeveon Clowney or Chase Voinovich. So, you know, they're both in a tough spot, and I have a feeling this is just going to be a very low-scoring game against Pittsburgh. I mean, you're not going to be expecting this game to be like high numbers like this one was. This one shouldn't have been really that high, especially against the Jets with a Joe Flacco quarterback, who, by the way, has an 18-3 record against the Browns.
Yes, it's I frankly, I don't have a lot of faith in the Browns at this point, and I don't think that I don't think the organization deserves our faith, and honestly, because they've taken 2 steps forward and then 3 steps back with this regime of Stefanski and Barry, and I don't know, hee-haw decided to go out and get Watson. You know, he said, I want this quarterback because he's great and he's a superstar. But, you know, people are just acting like Watson's just going to step in and all of your troubles are going to be gone. You know, the problems are not with the quarterback position. The whole thought process of getting Watson was that the rest of the team was ready. And yesterday and even last week proved that that's not the case. Your defense has serious issues. Your coaching on defense and special teams especially is still inconsistent. So, you know, you got a lot of other problems other than who's playing quarterback, because Jacoby Brissett played a great game yesterday.
Yeah, like we said before, he did. And you know, this was their cake cup game, I guess you could say, but it turns out it really was. I mean, fans were already leaving at the 2-minute warning thinking they won, and turns out they did it. And right now they have to go 3-1 in the next 2 games. I mean, if they don't win Pittsburgh, it's kind of like season's over already. I mean, what else do you really expect from them? Like, and you know, and we
just look at the Sorry to cut you off, Enzo, but look at the stretch from, you know, weeks 4 through 11 before Deshaun Watson even gets back. You know, you're playing the Bills, the Chargers. You probably have Pittsburgh in there again. I think you have the Ravens twice. The Bengals, still a talented football team, even though they're 0-2. Play the Patriots in there. I mean, you could lose all 7 of those.
You got Tampa Bay in there, too. Like, yeah.
True.
Tampa's another tough one.
Tampa Bay, yep. You could lose every single one of those games. So, yeah, you have to win.
So, yeah, so Watson could be back, and this team could possibly be could be 1-10.
So they got short time to think about it, which is good. Get back on the field, go to 2-1, and go from there. But – clowns will always be down to clown. Never forget that. And the midfield elf is scowling at everyone right now.
I mean, I really don't like well, now that that was our Browns insider, Mason Lauer, folks, on his take on that just devastating loss at the Browns. Surprisingly pulled off. I mean, this team never really, you know, finding ways to lose has just been the Browns' way for a while now. I mean, even before 99, when they were good in the 80s, losing in the playoffs. And then when they came back in 99, they were like, well, we could probably do this every game. I mean, a lot of people compared this Browns loss to Dwayne Rudd throwing his helmet back in the 0-2 opener to the Chiefs. And this one's kind of up there. I don't remember the Dwayne Rudd incident. I was four, but I will definitely remember this one. I mean, I kind of did watch a little bit of the film. Just looking at the defensive coverage was just absolutely, like, terrible. I mean, they're running too close in their zone. They're letting the receivers fly by, like Garrett Wilson and Corey Davis. I mean, a former Buckeye, Garrett Wilson, really killed us in this one. Really, this was just terrible. When are you going to ever have enough of just dealing with this every Sunday through this pain and torture? And then now we got short week. I got to deal with this on Thursday against our rival Pittsburgh, who, you know, who's been giving us crap all this time, but now Big Ben's retired. And what are you going to expect from them? I mean, Mitch Trubisky, I mean, he looks decent, but I'm not saying he's an elite level quarterback. I mean, their defense is still pretty good. They still got Minkah Fitzpatrick in there. There's Harper. There he is.
Sorry about that.
Just a little more ranting.
Sorry about that, Enzo. My phone started shorting out.
Yeah. You got to get better cell coverage in there. I'll tell you that.
Honestly, yeah. Better than the Browns secondary.
Something you just.
But let me just tell you, you know, Myles Garrett is one of the laziest players I've possibly ever seen. If you watch those last two drives, he's pretty much just like sauntering up to the line of scrimmage, and he puts his hand in the grass like right before the snap is, or right before the ball snapped. And he was invisible on the last two drives when you needed him most to like get a sack or bat down a pass or something. And he didn't show up. So, you know, I'm tired of Myles Garrett, and he needs to stop bashing the fans for being emotional. Much more emotional than the players were about an embarrassing loss.
Oh, the thing on our defense, there's really no leadership on the field. I mean, Garrett says he's a leader, but has he shown it? Not really, not always. At the end, he just flats out loses it. I mean, Clowney's mostly hurt all the time. Denzel saying that, you know, he never gets like targets or anything, which is true because they quarterbacks know he's a pretty good cornerback. And then John Johnson, Grant Delpit, just pointing fingers at everyone, Greg Newsom. It's just childish behavior from these players.
Yeah, you know, what I will say about Clowney is he did have that strip sack early in the game, you know, and the Jets were about to score there. So if he doesn't do that, you would have lost by more points. So I like Clowney because he makes plays like that. He bats passes down. He stops the run.
Plays like a team player. And Mason, thanks for coming on. You know, work on those technical issues next time.
Will do. I'm not like Tony Grossi's phone.
We all know about his phone. 50-50. Gave a good analysis on the game, I'll tell you that.
All right, see you, Enzo. Thanks for having me.
All right, now our Browns. Insider Mason Lauer is off. So enough Browns. We're going to have to go into the rest of week two, folks. We start out at the first ever Thursday night football game on Amazon Prime. And was I able to watch it? Hell no, because I don't have Amazon Prime. But you were able to keep track of it and everything. Patty Mahomes able to pull one out again. I don't know how he's doing it, and Juju Smith-Schuster was really nowhere. I mean, hey, I've got his buddy Travis Kelce. Herbert got hurt in this one. He's going to have to get surgery by the doctors. Very unfortunate for him. He might be back in 2 to 6 weeks. Wow. I mean, pretty much Kansas City controlled this game. I mean, the Chargers are doing the best they can come back, but, you know, had a couple picks they threw. Just wasn't a good look for Herbert. So, that's my best insight on that game. But let's move on to another good one. The Buccaneers and the Detroit Lions. Lions getting their first win of the season, getting it early, too. Dan Campbell is getting things done, and I like it. I like what I'm seeing from the Lions. I mean, whatever's going on with the Commanders is just the usual. I mean, is Wentz the guy there? I don't think so. Very poor performance from him. And it's just, you know, a typical like Carson Wentz performance. He really hasn't shown much. He threw an interception this game too. No surprise there. Jared Goff did solid. No interceptions on him. I'm looking through the game. Yeah. Amara St. Brown played solid. So did Swift. Yes, it's touchdown two from Amara St. Brown. Two tutties for him. Terry McLaurin looked a little better. Had more catches. The other former Buckeye, Curtis Samuel, had one touchdown. This one looked, just really wasn't enough to get the game going. Give creds to Detroit's defense for holding it, because Washington was on their way to come back in the end. But their defense holds them, all right? Dan Campbell's got some motivation in their defense, unlike the Browns. So good for the Lions, happy for Detroit. And Washington's 1-1, all right? So very interesting week two. Moving on to the next game, Buccaneers versus the Saints. And then things were getting out of hand fast. Tom Brady was getting angry in this game for sure. Wasn't having that good of a game. Only threw for 190 yards and a touchdown. Mike Evans, he's now getting suspended after having that fight on the field with Marshawn Lattimore. Not a good look. Jameis Winston looked like the old Jameis Winston. He threw three interceptions in that one. We all kind of thought Winston wasn't going to do that anymore since he got a LASIK eye surgery, but guess it isn't. So I thought Saints could come out of the win this one because they usually do well against Tampa, but Brady was able to pull it out and finally get a win against the Saints as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Moving on to the Panthers at Giants. And you know what, folks? The New York Giants are 2-0, and the Baker Mayfield still looking for his first win as a Panther quarterback. Honestly, just do a typical Baker Mayfield stat. 14 for 29, 145 yards, one touchdown. That's Baker for you. And Daniel Jones played almost like them, too. I mean, both of them had around similar quarterback ratings. But Christian McCaffrey pretty much was the main guy on their offense. And same with DJ Moore. But they really just couldn't get the dive done. Saquon Barkley having a much better season. Coming out, rushed for 72 yards in this game. And, yeah. Let's move on to – let's go to the next one. Giants 2-0. Well, we got the Patriots and the Steelers. And this is just a very – boring game to watch. I mean, pretty much just not much back and forth. I mean, the Patriots pretty much had the lead in the beginning. They were up 10-7 at half, and then Pittsburgh was trying to come back, but really couldn't get the shot. Even with the 2-point conversion, they tried to go for an onside kick, and it didn't work out for them. And Mac Jones having a bit of a better game, did throw an interception. Trubisky, not so much. Wasn't really that his game. So, yeah, Browns taking on Pittsburgh Nick lead. I have a feeling this is going to be a similar type game against the Patriots. It's going to be like 17-14. I mean, If any of these teams scored 20 or more points, I'd be impressed with that on Thursday. All right. Next, we got Colts taking on Jaguars, and wow, the Jacksonville Jaguars are the Indianapolis Colts kryptonite as they beat them 24-0. Doug Peterson getting his first win as the Jaguars head coach. Justin Herbert in this game, 235 yards, two touchdowns, quarterback rating of 95.3. And is Herbert turning into a special prog? Yeah, I believe he is. Matt Ryan, on the other hand, not had a good day. Threw three picks. Not a good look for him in his first start. I mean, he's getting old. Might need to retire after this season. Might pull Phillip Rivers. Who knows? I don't know if he's still the same quarterback as he was 5-6 years ago. Next, we got the Dolphins and the Ravens. And, man, we thought the Browns were the only one pulling out this kind of crap, losing in the fourth quarter after you had a lead majority of the game. Well, looks like our brothers, I guess you could say, in the AFC North, the Ravens pulled the same thing. They were up 28-7 at halftime. And then they allow the Miami Dolphins to score 28 points on them in the fourth quarter. I mean, how do you do that? I mean, Tua Tagovailoa just went off. You know, he started off terrible, had those two interceptions, and then he went on to score six touchdowns. I guess that's what happens when you have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle at your service. And Rashad Bateman and Mark Andrews are pretty much the only guys Jackson was arguing. And then, of course, Jackson was using his legs to rush in a touchdown, too. But, I mean, Baltimore having the same issues as the Browns. It might be a good look. I mean, Bagel, who knows? I mean, it's weird how similar these teams are looking at the start of the season and going back looking through, you know, how when the Browns moved, they became the Ravens, and then the new Browns started off. I mean, are we living in like a, like, I don't know, like Matrix type society? I mean, this is getting weird. It's getting weird. Hopefully the Browns win, Ravens lose next week. Next, let's move over 4 p.m. games. Falcons at Rams. Rams getting their very first win of the season. This year, but they were allowing Atlanta to come back at the end. And Stafford did throw two interceptions, same with Mariota too. But, you know, the Rams, their defense with Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey were able to hold them. And Bobby Wagner too. So the good job on their defensive side by keeping Atlanta from not coming back and not blowing it. So that's what a true NFL defense does, folks. Now, Seattle at 49ers. 49ers, you know, Trey Lance goes out with an injury. Had to get surgery. Looks like he's going to be out for the season. Now, Jimmy Garoppolo comes in. Thank God they still have Jimmy Garoppolo, because Jimmy Garoppolo's the guy. He just gets it done. He can get it down for the win and everything. One touchdown. Most of it was just running touchdowns with Kyle Jadecki, and Garoppolo had one, too. Geno Smith not looking like the same Geno Smith last week against Denver. I was pretty shocked in that one last week. I thought Denver was going to get it, but that 12th man really does help out there if you're the home team. And I guess that's what made Geno Smith played well on last Monday. No, moving on to Bengals at Cowboys, and Bengals lost to Cooper Rush, folks. Cooper Rush, backup quarterback. And Joe Burrow still getting sacked out there. And I thought the Bengals improved the line. Six sacks on Joe Burrow. I mean, that's just, I don't know, I feel bad for a guy. And then again, I just feel like his line's just still not giving him the work. All right, I mean, he did what he tried to do, but just coming back wasn't that good. And I mean, they had a chance in the fourth quarter. They were driving out good, but just they couldn't finish it up. Dallas defense showed up. They were able to get the win. Bengals 0-2, man. I guess they're really hitting that Super Bowl hangover. Next, we got the Texans at Broncos. Russell Wilson finally getting his first win with the Broncos. did have a touchdown and interception this game. Did throw a lot of trying to target people. I mean, they were down mostly. This game looked pretty boring at the end. It was tied 6-6 at halftime, both field goals. Then Tennessee had the lead in the third quarter, and then Russell Wilson finds a way to score a touchdown, and they were able to get an extra point to win it. So Texans not able to get a win in this one. I feel well, really, to get the win for Denver. Next, we go on to a game finishing in overtime. The Cardinals beating the Raiders 29-23 in a game where Kyler Murray came out and just played better and looked in the second half, scoring 16 points and then getting that touchdown into win in overtime. He rushed in for that one in OT, in regulation. And then just the Raiders defense couldn't really hold or stop them. I mean, I want to summarize week two in the NFL the best. It's teams blowing leads in the fourth quarter. Corner did get that fumble at the end for the Raiders. Really, really hurt them. Thought they had to stop, and you know, the Cardinals turned it into a touchdown and won the game. Well, just a very Raider way to lose it. A 59-yard touchdown run from Brian Murphy, folks. Finishing off with Sunday Night Football, Bears and the Packers. Aaron Rodgers still owns the Chicago Bears. Final score of that one, 27-10. I wish I could have stayed up for this game, but I'm kind of glad I didn't. Pretty much just Green Bay taking it over. Fields looked terrible in this one. 7 for 11, threw for 70 yards. And they really have nothing, so it's going to be a long season for the Bears. A lot of teams 1-1. And, right now, we got Monday Night Football on. Currently got the Titans and the Bills on. Bills up 16-7. Stephon Diggs just scored a touchdown. Then the other game is the Vikings and Eagles. Well, gonna do my Monday Night Pick'em right now. So this game, just because they're like the team I like to root for, unless the Browns are in them, give me the Bills over the Titans. Titans haven't played good. I mean, Derrick Henry, they're trying to depend on him too much. Looks like it ain't working. Tannehill, not always that quarterback you need. And the Bones, their defense hasn't been looking too good either. And then Vikings at Eagles. I gotta say, give me the Eagles in this one. They're at home in the link. Jalen Hurts has looked like a different quarterback. You know, must be a big help having A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith with them too. But now let's get into week three. Pick 'em Thursday Night Football. Starting out in Cleveland, Steelers at Browns. This is a tough one. You know, my heart has to say Browns, and I have to go Browns, but am I guaranteeing this win? No. Do I hope they win? Yes. If they don't, I'm going to be sad. So give me the Browns, Thursday Night Football in week two. On Sunday, 1 p.m. game, Texans at Bears to start out. I don't know who is going to watch this game and really want to spend the time. The Texans did look good week one against the Colts. You know, that came in the ties. The Bears have just been sloppy overall. I'm going to go with the Texans in this one. Raiders at Titans. You're going to have to give me... I'm going to go with the Raiders. Right now, Titans ain't playing that good to start out this one. So, yeah, give me the Raiders against the Titans. I mean, the Raiders played good week one. Week two, just had that tough overtime loss. on that fumble. Chiefs at Colts. Give me the Chiefs. Colts have been miserable, and Matt Ryan can't really do anything. And looks like they're depending on Jonathan Taylor too much, too, but he hasn't been even getting – he didn't even get 100 yards this last game against Jacksonville. He literally got shut out. Chiefs really looking good, especially on defense, too. I'll give credit to them. So they're really going to hold Matt Ryan to probably 20 or less points. Bills at Dolphins. This is going to be a good one. Tua starting out hot. Bills hot too on a mission, but give me the Bills. I think they'll be able to play well in that hot weather down in Miami. Lions at Vikings. Remember last year, the Detroit Lions got their first win against the Minnesota Vikings. It's going to have to depend on how Minnesota plays today against the Eagles. I think Vikings lose. Yeah, you know what? I do like both these teams. I'm going with the Lions. I got a lot of road victories this week. Ravens at Patriots. Patriots bounce back to win. Ravens blew it at the end, but I'm going to go with the Ravens in this one. I think their defense can hold the Patriots. Mac Jones has good or bad games. I feel like this next one's not going to be his. Bengals at Jets. I don't know, man. After that comeback win against the Browns that the Jets did, might be harder to say Jets, but I mean, Bengals have them looking good. Bengals did lose to the Jets last year, too. Maybe they can do it again. You know what? They need to bounce that game. Give me a Cincinnati. Next, Eagles at Commanders. Give me the Eagles. They even do well playing at FedEx Field, the worst stadium in all of football. Saints at Panthers. The Saints coming off a loss to Tampa, but they played very close. And just Jameis just can't throw interceptions, so I'm going Jameis Winston over Baker Mayfield. And now we're at the 4 p.m. game. Wow. Jaguars at Chargers. Chargers looking like they're going to be without Justin Herbert. But I got... Do they still have Tyrod Taylor as their quarterback? Believe they do. Let me try again. Who's the Chargers backup quarterback? Chase Daniel. Huh. I'm looking at this one. I'm going to go Jacksonville. I think, you know, not having Herbert's going to really mess up their chemistry for a bit if he's not in. Rams at Cardinals. Cardinals got lucky in that last game. Rams looked much better against the Falcons, so give me the Rams. Falcons at Seahawks. I'm going to go with the Seahawks. That's why I think that home field advantage really helped them in that last game. And I think, I mean, Atlanta's been pulling out strong, but just can't finish. They're trying to come back last week against the Rams. Couldn't get the job done, so give me Seattle. Packers at Buccaneers. Rodgers versus Brady is always a matchup people like to watch. But I'm going to have to go with... I was going to say Buccaneers. They don't have Mike Thomas. So the short Mike Thomas, Chris Godwin, depending on Scotty Miller, their old Julio Jones. Ray still get the job done. Yeah, I do like Tom, but I think I got to go with Aaron Rodgers. And then Sunday Night Football next week, 49ers at Broncos. Got that altitude level out there. Can Russell Wilson and the Broncos really pull it out? I don't know. I'm going to go with the 49ers in that one. I don't know what's going on. That's it for all the NFL recap of week 2 and my picks for week 3. Let's get into some college football. I mean, really, a lot of blowouts in college football in week 3. Not only a couple entertaining games showed up, including Eastern Michigan being Arizona State 30-21. But I will get more info on that if you go check out Bet the Mac podcast. You know, it's my Maction podcast. I do covers all things Mac, everything, give you the line spreads of each games and which ones to pick. I believe no one really picked the MU to win this one, but hey, love seeing Eastern winning against the Power Five, against Arizona State, and might have cost Herman Edwards his job. Some rumor coming out. But other games other than that in the MAC, looking at this one, college was down at Appalachian State, and man, they're on a pretty hot streak as they were able to beat Troy 32-28 on a Hail Mary touchdown at the very end. Very exciting game to watch. And they're on a good run in the Sun Belt. Other notable game, Michigan State losing to Washington 39-28. I did think Michigan State was going to pull out this win, but they were unable to. Washington having a good start to the season already. I mean, they did play Kent in week one. They're already undefeated. See if they fail in the rankings. And then Texas A&M bouncing back against Miami. I know Miami's not the same school lower, but this was the primetime game. Jimbo Fisher decided to go with Mac Johnson instead of Haynes King. And might have been the positive. Haynes King might be entering the transfer protocol soon. Transfer portal. There. Coming out of my mouth right. Look at the AP rankings. They're really much, pretty much the same as last week with Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, Clemson, Oklahoma, USC, overall, Kentucky, all the same. All right, very short college football segment, but let's get into the Cleveland Guardians pushing for the playoffs. In their previous series against the Twins, they won 4 out of 5 games. That is great. That's what we wanted. So we are now only 12 games away from clinching. We're able to get the win today against Minnesota. Oh, man. Sorry. Eleven to four, final score in that game. And I was at the game Friday. It was a pretty good crowd. I mean, it wasn't really a sellout or anything, but I was seeing the bleachers. I mean, we were electric down there. I mean, they were down the whole game on the seventh inning. They were able to rally back and get the win in the eighth by scoring in the eighth, too. So this team just comes from behind and just wins. Or they sometimes have these games where they just keep on hitting and getting in runs in, and it's really helping pitching, too. Gotta say, I mean, good Cal Contrell pitching this one, 5 innings. We gave up 3 runs in that one. And yeah, Class A, man. Been shining out games good. And this team can really make the push. I mean, a bit of a tough schedule as they have a 3-game road trip against the White Sox coming up starting tomorrow. Let's see who we got on the mound. Who we got pitching tomorrow against the White Sox. Savale against Dylan Chez. All right. Let's see, man. White Sox been making a push, man. I believe Tony Lewis is still not in the locker room yet, having some health issues. I mean, I hope he gets better, but I hope he doesn't manage the White Sox. He's really on that team, but Guardians really making that push. And then they got the Rangers in a home series and the Rays. And then the Royals are left. And I can honestly say this weekend they can clinch it. Or in that Tampa series. That'd be pretty cool. So, yeah, if they make the playoffs, they might win one game in a series or they might get swept. That's my expectations from them. But enough of that. Go Guardians, and you got to talk some Guardians. I mean, here they lost yesterday to the Twins 3-0. The whole thing I heard today was the Browns lost. Yeah, that was a bad loss. That was something good to mention about, but the Guardians loss know, put it on our damn too. Just yesterday was just a bad day to be in Cleveland. Both your teams losing, not good. Vibes are still great. I mean, I had a fun time in the Muni lot with Barstool Cleveland. Shout out to them. You know, I was out there. I was grilling sausages for them and hanging out with the guys and watching the game. Still a good time. But don't let losses really ruin your times like that. But let's get into everyone's favorite part of the show. Yeah, drunkie of the week. My drunkie of the week is going to be the Cleveland Browns. Blowing the game to the New York Jets, one of the worst teams in the league right now. I could still say the Browns in a way. Oh, who knows? We think we're at the top, but we're still down at the bottom. And I don't think Jimmy has them as realized or anything, but blowing that, you know, leaving an open coverage on a 66-yard touchdown and then not knowing how to do an onside kick and then letting them drive down the field and score a touchdown. Honestly, how much worse can you get? I'm really getting tired of just raining about this. I mean, but this is what happens, all right? It's a Monday. You wake up. You're like, I don't even want to go to work. It takes you a while to get out of bed because you're also listening to the talking heads complain about the loss, and you're like, I can't enough of this loss. That's just how my morning went. But enough of that. Let's hit it over to Travis Kelce. You send us away. And we'll see you all in the next episode next week.
I learned one thing since I've been here. You gotta fight for your right to party! Kick it!